presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character, originally created in the story The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Karas.
I've got a story for you. A story about a canvas cloud, a penciled world, a bloody murder. The villain and how it all happened in Taormina, which is in Sicily. I know it happened because I saw it. Call the story The Painted Smile. Stick around.
Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man, in today's story, The Painted Smile.
I've always had a fondness for the exception that breaks the rule. Maybe it's because I like to break rules myself. Take a smile, for instance. One of the intangibles of life, so everyone says. But what about that smile of the Cheshire Cats? That grin hung around long after Puss had vanished. You call that intangible? Like the smile I'm going to tell you about. The horrid humor of that painted smile lingered long after the man who wore it was quite dead. As I'd come to Taormina for a holiday, the circumstances were ideal. I had some extra cash in my pocket, the climate was fine, and the local police were completely disinterested in me. But I no sooner entered my room at the San Domenico Hotel, was testing the mattress, as a matter of fact, when a long-bladed Sicilian knife whispered past my ear and wickedly winked at me from the bedpost. Since I was naturally somewhat curious, I turned rather quickly, and standing there in the doorway was a slim man with pale brown hair, pale monkey eyes, and the face of a tragedian.
Why, Tony! You old clown.
Harry, you old devil. What bring you to Taormina?
Money, old friend. The climate, a certain weariness. And this happens to be one of the last places in the world where Harry Lime is welcome. You?
Same old reason. The circus is playing here.
A circus in Sicily?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that bringing coals to Newcastle, old man?
Not everyone is laughing and happy in Sicily, and clowning is my business. I was born to make people laugh.
A clown. Yes. Born the greatest con man of them all.
No, Harry. I have a certain talent for crime, perhaps sleight of hand, facility with a knife, but not the heart. I'm afraid I'm an honest man, Harry.
All the more reason to be my guest tonight, Tony. Share the pleasure. My first night in Taormina.
To the contrary, you should be mine. I'll serve you Sicilian pasties for hot dogs, champagne for pink lemonade, introduce you to every freak on the midway, and seat you in a box for the main show. How would you like that, eh?
Yes, I'd like that. This night I'll step inside your canvas cloud, old man, pop the enchanted peanut in my mouth, and enter the circus heaven of youth. I'll leave every gilded angel and tinsel queen I see, smell the animals, walk the sawdust stairway to the stars. Yes, Tony, I'll be happy to accept your invitation to the circus. And who could ask for a better host than a clown? We left the midway crowd, the lights and the burning calamity. And the growl of jungle beasts came to me. We approached a small dressing tent. Then the clown humbly called for his friend.
Nola! Nola! Are you in there?
You again, Antonio? What is it?
I want to see you.
You will see me later. Go away.
But I have a surprise for you, Nola. A wonderful surprise.
A present, perhaps?
The canvas flap snapped back and she stepped into the yellow glare of the lamps. Nola. Hair as black as though it had been poured out of an ink bottle. Body sinuous, graceful. Like a cat's. She was like a cat. And her ice-gray eyes flared strangely when she looked at me.
So this is your wonderful surprise, Antonio.
Nola, this is Harry Lime, my friend.
I'm always happy to meet a friend.
The way she said, the way she was looking at me, made it seem like we were all alone. Just Nola and me. I don't know what kind of female. I also knew that Tony was in for a bad time. Funny thing, he knew it too. He told me about it a little later while he was putting on his clown makeup.
So you feel sorry for me, Harry?
Well, I don't feel one way or the other about anyone, but if you fancy Nola for yourself, you're a chump, old man.
I know.
Oh? And you like to be kicked in the teeth, is that it?
Look at me, my friend. What is there about me for a woman to love? There is a great deal about Nola to love.
Mm-hmm. To admire, to desire, yeah. To love? Uh-huh.
You're forgetting something.
I am.
All clowns suffer.
Oh, yes.
Paint a smile on their face to hide a broken heart.
Ah, really, old man, don't be troubled.
Nola's like a fever in the blood, a disease. She's not good for me, perhaps, but the pain of loving her is better than the ecstasy of loving any other woman.
I agree with you, Tony. You never, never would have made a good confidence man.
You think the clown white has gone deeper than my face? That my thinking has become as theatrical as my profession? Perhaps. Ha! But the show is about to begin. Help me with my wig, Harry.
There you are.
Now, am I not the funny man?
Yeah, very funny.
See you later, my friend. Now Antonio must go to clown and dance like a puppet.
Well, Nola pulls the strings. Laugh, brown laugh. Poor schmooze. It wasn't a very big circus, but it looked like the greatest thing on earth to the folks in Taormina. They laughed at Tony's antics till they cried, and they wooed and hollered at the trapeze performers and gasped at Nola's anger. Then came the grand climax. Cage, Tony pantomimed his bravery to the crowd. He cracked his whip, he strutted. He proved to himself, at least, that he was afraid of nothing on four legs. And then a smaller cage was rolled in and opened on the main cage, and another clown in the costume of a black puma sprang inside with Tony. First, my friend was terrified, and then he saw the puma was as frightened as he, and they made friends and waltzed around the cage together as the audience screamed with mirth. It was a simple event. But Tony's clowning was touched with genius. In his performance, there was all the posturing and heartbreak and fear of the world. And by conquering his fear in the shape of the puma, he put a happy ending to his story. And everybody went home happy. And as everybody but Tony. I saw him after the show waiting for Nola. She ran up from the main tent, still carrying her animal with
Nola! Nola!
Get out of my way!
But, Nola, I must talk.
Take your hand off me! Let me go!
A whip, cruel and quick as a puma's claw, cut across his face. I could see a livid wheel rising under his clown white. But Tony took it silently. Just looked after Nola with big eyes. And he saw me. Thanks for the show, Tony. It was swell, but the rest of the night's on me. Now let's do Taormina, Like men.
You will excuse me tonight, my friend. Tomorrow I'll come to the hotel. Tomorrow.
I went back to my monastic cell to do some thinking. I say cell, call it that, because the Hotel San Domenico, Taormina, was in the 16th century a monastery. Now in the 20th century, it's a very un-monk-like character who walked its sacred tiles and pondered on human passion. And then I had no reason not to answer the door. Yeah? She was small, very young, very dewy. You know, the moonlight for hair and stars for eyes, sort of thing.
You are Mr. Harry Lime.
I am.
I am Therese.
It's enchanting.
you will invite me in, I would speak with you.
Well, I can't imagine a more satisfactory conversation.
I will sit here.
If you like. It's all very femme fatale, very intriguing, but how do you happen to know my name?
I asked the manager.
And they do make things easier, don't they?
What?
It's unimportant.
I just arrived at the hotel a while ago. I am staying here, too.
Alone?
Oh, yes.
And I say?
You do know Antonio Vega?
Oh, sly dog. You're another one of his girls, is that it?
I am his only girl.
Oh, of course.
I am his daughter. The manager told me that Papa was here to see you this afternoon. He said you were his old friend. Is that so funny?
No, don't start that again.
I came to you, Mr. Lyle, because I could not find Papa. He wrote to me he was going to be here. He is a traveling salesman, you know.
Oh, no.
So when school closed for vacation, instead of staying there as usual, I thought I'd come here and surprise Papa.
Papa and me,
Hasn't he told you about me?
Yes, of course.
Then you know where he is. I can go to him.
Well, as it so happens, your father's coming to the hotel tomorrow. Why don't you wait for him here and really surprise him,
What a wonderful idea. Oh, Mr. Lime, I could kiss you.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment. Orson Welles, as Harry Lime, the third man, continues in today's story, The Painted Smile.
Teresa didn't know her father's real profession any more than I'd known Tony had a daughter. My clown friend was beginning to interest me more and more. A man of many lives, one of those still waters run deep boys. But in spite of the sheltered life he'd lavished on Teresa, she'd walked into the finest emotional trap the devil himself could set. What to do? I breakfasted with the young lady on the terrace. Well, they're popular. They're public.
Harry, is that you? Oh, pardon me. You are busy.
Doctor! Oh, doctor!
Yes.
Oh, kiss her, Tony. Go on. I'm sure I would if I had such a daughter.
Oh, it's so wonderful to see you, Papa. Be with you again.
Captain, you should have stayed at the school.
You are not glad to see me?
Of course, my darling. But it's my work, you know. I have so little time. That is why I always visited you instead of you coming to see me.
If it's only one little minute of the day, it's worth it, Papa. Just to be near you.
Have a heart, Tony. She'll have me in tears.
Your cheek. Oh, Papa. What happened to your poor cheek? A terrible scar.
It was an accident, Therese. Another reason why you must not stay. It is impossible. You understand the situation, Harry.
What situation? Why should not a daughter be with her papa?
It is impossible. You will go back to school like a good girl. Yes, or to the relatives in Naples.
No.
Therese?
No. I will never leave you. Even if you don't want me around.
Just who won that round, Tony, old man?
What can I do, my friend?
Well, I'll tell her the truth.
And bring her shame? Therese thinks of me as a businessman, dignified, honorable. What would she say if her father told her that he was a clown?
You're going to have to tell her something.
I said I was an honest man, my friend. That isn't true.
What do you do? Pick the pockets of the other clowns?
I smuggle emeralds.
Again?
I smuggle emeralds. It was for her, Harry, Therese. How could I support her in such a fine fashion, good clothes, private schools, on the earnings of a clown in a one-ring circus?
Not about it much. Didn't even know your kitten existed, you see.
That's one of many things I haven't told you, my old friend. Forgive me.
Forgiven, but the emeralds.
You see, I've been very successful in the smuggling trade, but very careful. Over the years, I've saved a small fortune. And now I want to ask you a favor.
For the fortune? Anything, old man, for the fortune.
It's for Therese when she reaches 21. If anything should happen to me before, see that she gets it.
Now, why be so morbid?
The way things are lately, you know, Harry, with my life, with Nola, I think my luck's changed.
Well, how do you know I won't keep the fortune for myself, old man?
The same way I know you won't inform on me to the police.
You figure this pot's too smart to call the kettle black.
That's one way of putting it. Come to the circus tomorrow night, Harry. I'll show you where my savings are hidden. Mm.
And Therese?
Therese? I will think of something. Better her heart should break a little now than learn the truth about me and then...
I'll meet you tomorrow night, too. I didn't like the way things were going. Not that Harry Lyon is averse to learning the exact location of a man's fortune, but this particular collection of moolahs seemed to have apparently too many strings attached to it. However, I decided to let tomorrow take care of itself. I was deep in the arms of Morpheus when... Oh. Yeah. Yes. What the devil do you mean, waking a man up in the middle of the night?
Mr. Lyme. Mr. Harry Lyme.
Who's calling?
This is Signor Borgia, Questore of Taormina, Department of Public Safety.
The police?
And it is not midnight, Mr. Lyme, but 9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, sir.
You will do me the great favor of coming to my office within the hour.
I'll do nothing of the sort, Borgia. As I told you...
You will come, or you would have been come before. You are already under surveillance.
Well, I'll do you the great favor, Questore Borgia.
Your generosity is exceeded only by your wisdom, Signor. Within the hour.
I never argue with a policeman on the telephone, beyond a certain point. And when he bears the name of Borgia. Well, then, Taormina, do what the Taormaniacs do, I suppose. I visited the Questore. I found him a small, alert man, all spit and polish. He eyed me like a hungry robin views a fat worm.
Sit down. Sit down, Signor Lyme. You are a friend of Antonio Vegas?
Oh, well, he must have many friends, I should think.
Too many. At one time, this Vegas was in your profession. A confident man.
Tony's a good clown.
And a smart man. His buffoon makeup hides more than the proverbial broken heart, doesn't it?
Does it?
Vegas had the smuggling ring, emeralds. Are you trying to tell me you know nothing about the traffic?
I've never dabbled in emeralds, Borgia, old man. They're too hot for my blood.
You refuse to admit that you are in partnership with Vegas?
If what you said is true, well, I wish I was.
Do not try to warn me, your friend. He will never leave Taormina.
Well, they're worse places to live.
Good morning, Signor Lyme.
Good morning. You mean I can go now?
It does.
Am I still under surveillance?
Yes. Why?
Well, my holiday mood, that's all. Hope your bloodhounds are broad-minded. Good morning. How is it that I always get into these things? Here I was about to do Tony a favor. No profit in it for me. I went to his dressing room that night, and he showed me his fortune, all tucked away under a false bottom of his costume trunk, and all in American bills of high denomination. It's a pity to see it lying there, just doing nothing.
Now that you know where the money is hidden, I'll replace the bottom.
Well, old boy, I still say I'm not in this. It's not my kind of caper. Send the nest egg to the relatives in Naples.
I don't trust them. You know how it is with good people.
Yeah.
Sudden wealth may change their natures completely. Whereas you...
Say no more, man.
And here is something else for you to see. Hidden in this bladder I use for one of my props.
Perfectly cut. Some of them are as big as robin's eggs.
I deal in nothing but the finest merchandise.
Who's your fence?
Nazetti.
No. our best.
I find him to be the best.
Tony, you're one of the few men I've ever underestimated.
Who would suspect the clown?
Yes, but I must warn you, Tony, that there are some...
You say Mr. Vegas is in this tent?
Si, senorita.
Yes.
Yes, she must have followed me here.
Quick, help me hide this.
Yeah.
Ah, I have found you.
Yes, Therese, you have found me. And now you know what your father really is. He's the best...
A clown. I think it is too wonderful. Oh, Papa, did you think I would look down on you because you were a clown in a circus? This is much finer than a traveling salesman. You are angry because I found you out?
Well, I should have.
What can I do, Harry?
I guess give her a pass to the show. I'll take charge of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What can I do to...
Oh, am I...
Nola.
There were no introductions. I took Therese out of there as soon as possible. Before we left, I caught Nola's eyes on the emeralds. They narrowed like a cat's. The lady knew her way around gems as well as men. And that bothered me. The climate of Charmin had suddenly become very unhealthy. We would quit the place that night if Borgia's bloodhounds hadn't been guarding every point of exit.
Why is Papa going into that animal cage, Mr. Light?
Oh, it doesn't. He's pretending to use a cat training, you know, like Nola. See how brave he is.
Oh, how funny he is.
Yeah.
How wonderful is my Papa.
Oh, he's great. Tony's funniest routine begins. He's giving the greatest performance of all the life because he's brought it in the audience. The puma cage was wheeled up to the main cage and the door opened. Out came the puma. But no costume clown this way. A very large, very live, and very vicious cat sprang into Tony's cage. It stood there a moment, lashing its tail and blinking in the lights. In that moment, before it sprang at my old friend, I saw Nola's face watching from the tent entrance. Her eyes wide, her lips drawn back in an animal smile. Her hands stretched before her like claws. So she was about to attack. It was over very quickly. Once I was glad to see the police. Puma was shot and killed. Nola was apprehended. What was left of Antonio Vegas was taken to the hospital tent. As I said, he found a way out of Tommy. Hard way.
Don't cry, Kitty. It was an accident.
No, it was no accident. Like the scar on your cheek. She did it. She did it.
I did nothing. It was an accident. Somebody switched the cages.
What do you mean?
Well, Professor Borgia, I think I can prove differently. It was you,
Signora.
Accident at all.
He lies?
Antonio Vegas is my friend, Signora. You understand that word, friend? Why should I lie? I saw you switch the cages deliberately.
No, no, I did not. I did not.
And I know why you did. Because of jealousy.
Jealous? Of that clown?
Stop it! Stop it! You shall not laugh at my father!
Thank you.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment.
Thank you.
And now, Harry Lyme.
I think somebody before me once pointed out that women are very curious creatures. You take Lola, for instance. Lola was quite prepared to murder the man she loved, just out of a fit of jealousy. Some women, of course, indulge in a more refined and less dangerous form of vengeance. They arrange matters for the men they love so that life just seems like death. I sometimes wonder what life would be like without women. So quiet and peaceful. And so very, very dull.